And welcome back to Creativity and Chaos, the 1L2N podcast. I am Amy, and what is your most cursed pizza topping? Cursed pizza topping. Missy?
Oh, brain no work.
Brains?
Floodwater and zombie brains.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Mike?
Chocolate covered pineapples.
Tommy?
Just get the mushrooms out of there. No one likes mushrooms.
Lies.
And our pizza boy himself, Liam?
Yeah.
We're a family of idiots going through the story writing process and bringing you along for the ride. I would say also mushrooms and then probably onions.
Onions.
And then
that's hurtful.
Onions.
Like my
anchovies.
Onions.
Anchovies?
I think it's kind of squishy.
Those are all nasty.
I like onions.
And green peppers, because green peppers are the worst pepper.
I like green peppers too.
I like sautéed onions, but you don't get sautéed onions on pizza. It's always just this raw, warm. Ugh.
The pizza is the sautéer.
But he doesn't do the caramelization on the onions, and that's how I like.
That's why you add caramel sauce.
Caramel.
No, caramel sauce is a dessert topping. Caramel is
an onion caramelized.
Is the same thing. Dude, it's been a hot minute since we all been together.
It has. It's been quite a while. It's nice to hear everyone's voice in the podcast.
Today, I thought it might be interesting to talk about your media icks. So let me explain. When you are consuming some kind of media, what is something that you might come across that you'll instantly be like, well, no, I'm done. I'm done. I'm backing out. Absolutely not.
Do you have an example for us, maybe?
One ick specifically in books, I find that I don't like this, is called the pregnancy trope. And it's basically, with a lot of romance books, all of a sudden the big drama that's happening is the main character finds out they're pregnant. I'm not interested in that kind of media. Don't really care about kids in that way. And for me, I will stop reading a book or I'll stop watching a movie if, like, that's going to be the main drama is, oh, they're pregnant. I'm like, ugh, okay. And then I stop consuming that media instantly.
I know I've said it before, but I think unironic poor production quality, like, especially if it's something where you were trying to give instruction to somebody else and try to be like, this is the way that you can go ahead and make your videos way better. And then it's just like somebody recording on their cell phone in the bathroom or something. And you're just like, oh, this is the worst ever. Now, if it's somebody doing that ironically, and it's, you know, obviously supposed to be satirical, that's great. But if it's more of just a like, hey, I really know what I'm talking about. And they obviously don't. It's kind of like the peak of knowing very little and pretending like you know a lot, you know, pretty much like this podcast. So
it is a lot of yapping and pretending like we know what we're talking about.
By this time, if anybody is listening to this podcast, they should know that we have no idea what we're talking about. And that's the charm.
I love yapping.
It's ironic, right, guys?
Yeah, that's it.
It's charming.
No, it's real.
Charming. Nice one.
In
word.
Music, when a song has a music, full first verse, but then the second verse is only half a verse or half of an original verse, then repeats half of the first verse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that just seems
lazy.
You couldn't be bothered to finish writing your song and you're just going to reuse your own content. That's what choruses are for. So you shouldn't be repeating verses and choruses. It drives me nuts. And then I don't really want to listen to the song anymore because it's just not finished.
But what if those lyrics were just such hot fire from the first verse and you're like, yes, I need to sling them again like a dragon upon
you
my mound of gold.
Song on repeat.
What if it was such hot fire that you couldn't write anymore because you burned your tongue?
You used up all your creativity
your
on that first verse.
Burning your tongue only
prevents
you from singing those verses. It doesn't prevent you from writing more.
Now, do you like it when they switch up the chorus?
I do.
Okay, so you just like variety.
I like variety, yeah. But I don't have to have the chorus switched up. I can hear the same chorus multiple times. But the verses should be, if you're going to do verses and choruses, your verses should have variety. Don't give me half a verse or repeating verses. Like, what's the point?
What if it was like a guest singer, though, and the guest singer repeated something from the first verse? And it would make it sonically different. I don't know if I can think of an example.
That does provide some variety. And I guess I'd have to hear the song to understand the context in which the guest singer was repeating something. Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of a loose thing. But
what about in like a musical?
I'm just trying to quiz you to death here.
Again, it depends on the context in the musical.
Okay, what if you reversed it? What if you only got half? What if you reverse that and you only got half of the first verse, and then the next verse you got the full thing?
I think that I would be less irritated.
They're
building more.
Yeah. No, Liam's turn. Go. Yeah.
What if you only have one verse and one chorus? Boom.
God. Then you have one half of a song.
I'm pretty sure it's a poem at that point.
Yeah. Finish your song and then publish it.
No, that's not half of a song.
Would it be considered a chorus if there's only one?
Yes.
Can you do a double chorus and only a double chorus?
Yeah, that's basically what praise music is.
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
Amy brought up an interesting point. If it was a musical, if you're listening to a soundtrack, that might be annoying. But if you're watching it, there has to be something different going on stage. It's not like they're going to repeat the same part of the first verse. So I'd probably give it a lot more context, which would bring it to variety.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I agree. Again, context is everything.
But yeah,
it just sometimes feels like they're so eager to publish something to make that money that they don't finish writing it. And
they still make that money.
It's just kind of, it's like an unfinished movie, you know, or a TV show that they just, and we don't really know what to do. So we're going to do a filler episode. Oh, filler episodes. That's a whole nother.
Oh, no. Go into it now. We have filler episodes.
Clip episodes, unless you have a really clever way, I will skip that clip episode. I will not watch them. I hate them so much.
What's a clip episode?
Yeah. It's an episode where they pretend to tell a story by just repeating clips of footage from prior episodes.
Oh. Or it's like a best of montage type thing. Yeah. That's even worse.
I actually hate that in movies where at the end of the movie, they play stuff that happened in like the beginning of the movie. And I'm like, I just watch it. This is not an 8-season TV show that I need to remember. This is an hour and a half movie. I don't need repeated moments from.
Actually, at the beginning of the movie.
Do you think Batman
versus Superman where they replay the scene? We don't need the scene again. We've not only already seen the scene at the beginning of this movie, but we've seen it at the beginning of every freaking Batman movie that has ever existed. Please stop.
Oh, you mean his parents dying?
I was talking about specifically where they like take a moment that's already happened, not canonically in like whatever.
Yeah, no, I was saying both. In Batman versus Superman, they replay the death scene in like the middle of the movie or later.
Yeah, but how
are
you going to know he's an orphan?
It's so interesting because I just finished this series called Alice in Borderland, and it's a J-drama, and it does that all the time. But it's so weird because they're doing it to give like fight scenes and just any scene with a semi-established character more weight. And it will literally be like, as a scene's happening, you're like, why is this person doing this action? And then they play a clip of the past and they're like, they're explaining it right then. And then it jumps right to the future. I'm like, it's interesting. That didn't have any payoff, but I'm still going to watch it. They do that all the time in that show. And I've noticed a lot of
the reusing footage in general.
Yeah. I also don't
find a more clever way to tell your story.
It makes it even worse if it was an incredibly obvious twist. But I think what's even worse than that is when it is like an incredibly not obvious twist and you're like, what? And then they have to play the scene back, but from a slightly different perspective or something. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, why didn't you just tell me that the first time and then I could have figured it out? Would have felt clever. But now you are just taking that moment away from me and telling me, oh, you're so stupid. You didn't see it from this other angle that we didn't show you.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
Also, Home Alone used to do the clip show. Not Home Alone. Home Improvement used to do the clip show when we were watching that as kids. Like once a season, they had like a here's the funny moments or here's the best of. And you're like, that's such a waste of a half hour.
And a lot of shows do it for their series finale as well. Like, let's relive the memories. No, screw your memories. I want new memories. Give me an actual final episode
and keep making them. I love you, show.
I understand why they do this for like more reality TV, but like because of commercial breaks specifically, but after a commercial break, they like repeat the last 10 seconds of what just went on before it.
Yeah.
That stuff pisses me off.
Drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Or coming up next. No, don't spoil it. Just play your stupid commercials and I'll see what comes up next when it comes up next.
Oh, jeez. I got another really good one, but first, Liam, go.
Yeah, Liam.
What?
You had a question.
You look like you're going to say something.
Oh, I don't remember.
Can you rewind your brain real quick?
No.
Can you press the button on the side? Hit the button on the side.
Rewind.
I forgot my good one.
I don't have.
Dang it. Oh, yeah. So you talked about reality shows and stuff.
Reality
shows in general. But reality shows can be good. I typically hate reality shows because of the music that they put in the background. It is the most simplistic, crappy. If you give me the plucky strings, like blum 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 blum, like, oh no, we're going on an adventure, like, I will immediately turn it off. Immediately. It's just
that stuff.
It is not good.
Or, you know, the, oh, this person's acting like an idiot, let's bring in some cheesy circus type music. I don't know what, like, you know what I'm talking
always
about.
Audibly hear the wah wah. Yeah. Like, you hear that in the music. I hate it.
Are there any genres that you're like watching and you're like, oh, that's what this is? Never mind. And want to turn something off?
Mostly like romance or fantasy.
Romantic
one of those
comedy.
Two.
You said that with a smirk.
Yeah. That's okay.
Boxing episodes.
That's not okay. Yes, but
it's not a genre.
I know I've said it before.
It's not a genre.
I'll say it again. No, just icky media. Like, not every show needs a boxing episode. Or a baseball episode or a basketball episode. Just stop. Just tell your story.
But how are they going to do those?
What about a time loop episode?
Oh, now that's totally fine. I'm all about that. That's when you can cleverly reuse footage because you can do it from a different angle or from the other character's perspective. Or you can repeat something because the point of the story was to repeat it.
You're setting yourself up for those types of
that's story driven
a good way.
So it's
What if there was a time loop episode that was about Boxing Day, but then the main character realized they had to actually box on Boxing Day in order to make the time loop stop? It's like Groundhog
First of
Day
all,
with boxing.
Boxing Day isn't about
I know, but
that's the point.
It's a time loop, and then all of a sudden they're like, I have to box on Boxing Day, and then the camera turns sideways and pans right into their face, like, what?
And then there's a flashback to last Boxing Day.
Oh, no.
I've always had this in my head.
Boom, boom. Oh, no.
I think we should all legitimately create something that is just used out of entirely all tropes. Like, it has to be all tropes.
I think we should legitimately create anything, but that's, you know, a whole separate thing.
No,
that's
a separate thing. Okay, we're dreaming here real quick. Just all tropes. Like,
you can
that
dream
whole
by
Boxing
creating
Day
anything.
Time. Exactly.
Should we make it a trailer? It doesn't have to be like a movie trailer.
Oh, a trailer would be easy.
Yeah.
A trailer
oh,
would be
yeah.
easy
yeah.
to do. Yeah.
A trailer to
In
like
fact,
a fake movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great idea.
You ever seen the what's that one movie with Robert Downey Jr. and it's like they're like a bunch of actors that's like in a jungle and it's
where he did blackface.
Yeah, he did blackface. Yeah, and the movie starts off with three trailers that are exactly
let's just name the movie without looking it up. Thunder
like Tropical
Heat
Thunder,
good.
I think.
You gotta be so right.
Yeah, the movie starts off with three trailers that are exactly like that. They're like super, they're amazing. It's fantastic. It's got every actor you know in it too. Definitely recommend that movie. Super funny.
It is.
All I know is fake movie advertisements, jungle, and blackface. You're not exactly selling me here.
It works because it's specifically pointing at the ridiculousness of it. It's Robert Downey Jr. playing a character who is so serious about acting that he like takes on the role. And so he plays a black guy. So he walks around in like really shitty blackface, like brown face technically. And it's to point out how method actors are so stupid. And
this sounds
it's an over
like
the
plot
comedy.
Of a Nick Cage movie.
It kind of is of a Nick Cage movie.
I feel like with a lot of tropes or just ics in general, I'm willing to look past it, except in video games, because I love video games so much. And the one that gets me is consistent like tutorials where you just like stop everything and then they tutorial you. They're like, boom, tutorial. Yeah. And I'm like, stop. And they're like, oh, here's another tutorial. I'm like, no. And they just keep doing it over and over again. I'm just like, let me learn the game.
In Civ, the tutorial, they do have a interchangeable tutorial where you like you can put it in different modes to depending on how much you've played. Where it's like if you're a first time player, if you've only played like once or twice, or if you've played a lot, or just turn off the tutorial at all, which honestly helps a lot. And some of the Paradox games have that too.
Yeah, I would. I really wish there was that.
Personally, I never play tutorials. I hate tutorials with a passion because every time I play a tutorial, it just never works. It's always super long and it barely teaches me anything besides basic game mechanics that I could figure out within 5 minutes by myself. It never tells me like the little niche or nuanced things that this game has to offer, you know?
Yeah.
Tutorials should basically be done the way that the Lego video games do them, where it's not really a tutorial, it's just the first level of the game. And as you go along and something new is coming, they kind of like give you an opportunity to learn it and they, you know, the little pop-up information, but you're not having to play a tutorial in order to actually do the game. It's just, it kind of holds your hand that first time with every new experience.
Yes, some of the best tutorials are those exact ones where you might have the tools already or you might not have the tools, but when you get a new tool, it shows you how to play the game further. And then by the end, you're combining all the different tools and things that you use. Mm-hmm. The worst tutorials for me are the press A to jump, press B to crouch. Like I get it. It's not my first video game. And I know that there are people,
but also it's their giving first me a list game. Of things, I'm not going to be able to remember that.
Yes. With throwing like tutorial dump when it's 4 hours of playing a game and you're learning the crafting system and you're learning every tiny little stupid detail about it. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, here's the world, go explore. And you're like, I don't remember any of this. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I hate when they also tell you how to do things, but you're not actually doing them. They're just telling you how to do it without you having the experience of doing it as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like you have to press these three buttons to like crouch and then jump and then like solve a puzzle. But you're not actually doing that. You're just standing still and are like, yeah, you have to remember to do this when this ever comes up.
You mean specifically like when the screen kind of like pauses and it shows you what it you're supposed to do and then it unpauses and then you're supposed to do it and then you forget already? It'd be better if it was like just displayed on the bottom of the screen. Like, hey, you probably should do this, but you know, keep dying if you want to.
I don't know. I'm an avid tutorial hater. They're very rarely good.
Mm-hmm. I've been playing a lot of Monster Hunter, which I did not like at first because every time you would try to learn something in the game, it would pop up with 6-7 paragraphs of here's how this mechanic works. And it was like, just, it was 20-30 of those. And that's not exaggerating. It was just constant. And I'm like, I'm here to play a video game, not read. I don't read. And I enjoy it now, but I only enjoy it because I had a friend to basically simplify all that. He was just like, oh, here's what this does. Crafts this. Okay, cool. That's all I had to know. The tutorial was like, it crafts this, and then it like lore dumps for you. And I'm like, I don't even know what any of these lore is. I don't care about this story. I just want to play the game. But yeah, tutorials.
I've been playing a game called Tunic, and it has no tutorials in it. And you have to figure it out yourself. And then as you go explore around the world, you'll find these little pages. And then the pages will give you sometimes unclear information about like things and mechanics that you might have already been able to do, but you didn't know. So it's a lot of just figuring it out yourself. And once you figure it out, you get a really big aha moment. You go, oh, yeah, cool. But it's mostly the way that they guide you around the world to actually do that without a tutorial is very, very fun. So tutorials suck.
Yeah, tutorials I think do suck. I like when they are part of the opening cutscene because I think, you know, you have to have like a little bit of like kind of saying like, okay, what world are you in? What's going on? And I hate just like sitting down watching that opening tutorial or watching that opening like cutscene and it taking forever. So I actually like when they kind of integrate the cutscene and the tutorial. Any other icks that we can think of?
Potatoes. If I see one in a film, I'm going to turn it off.
You're actually Irish. You know what, speaking of like food and films, it's when I understand that they like can't actually eat because they're doing a scene and they might have to do it like 30 times so they can't get full up, but when they like go to like take a bite and they're like, they take like the tiniest little bite where they like don't even eat, or they like go ahead and they like make this full dinner and they like maybe take a bite or two and then they're like, yeah, we should get going. I'm like, you just had a whole scene where you're cooking this big dinner. You took two bites and now you're leaving? Absolutely not.
It's always breakfast.
Oh, yeah, that's
always.
It.
Every single time you see breakfast on screen, somebody takes two bites and leaves.
The busy working mom who has time and energy to make her children a full on hot, like full breakfast before school. Mm-hmm. Like, first of all, what's up with that? That seems so unrealistic.
Liam gets breakfast SpaghettiOs.
But then secondly,
SpaghettiOs. That sounds awesome.
Liam's on his own for breakfast except for the weekend. He can take care of himself. But secondly, it's always kids who they don't have enough time to eat that big breakfast. So they're running out the door with like a piece of toast or a slice of bacon or whatever after mom's made this huge breakfast. And it's like, well, I guess moms can either try and wake their kids up and get them out to the bus on time, or they can make a big breakfast. But both isn't going to happen. And just like every single show, they do this. And I don't understand.
It's more for the moms. Gotta think about it.
Yeah, the moms are like, but the mom then... I do that. And nobody eats my breakfast. And so, yeah.
I just look, I'm like, nah, y'all are stupid for wasting your time and money on that. Kids aren't going to eat it.
No, I would just like skip the first class or two while I eat breakfast and then
go. Yeah, exactly. You skip school for a good breakfast.
Like Liam, you like only have two classes a day.
Yep. Don't eat
well. It looks like I'm just
and
having breakfast for school.
Actually, can confirm, because on the days he doesn't go to school, he's like, so mom, you can make breakfast.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Which, speaking of, see on my little weather alert that Microsoft does, it's got snow tomorrow, so are you making breakfast?
Tomorrow's a holiday. I was making breakfast anyway.
Oh. Yeah, that is true.
Tomorrow is a holiday.
That's the real reason why Liam's been sad.
Same line as breakfast. Do you want to go, Amy? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, whenever someone gets like a cup of coffee and they like, pretend to drink from it, or they put it down and you can hear the hollow cup that they just put down.
Oh, yeah. The hollow cup. And I'm like,
you can hear them making fake noises of drinking.
Yes.
Or so like, bad.
And you're like, uh-uh.
Or they have like the little carrying case that has four cups of coffee, but they're carrying it with like two fingers. I'm like, absolutely not. You have four cups of coffee that you just put your hard-earned money on. You're carrying that thing like it's a baby. You're like, come here, it's okay. And these people are like, oh, here's some coffee. Let me just dish this out. I'm like, no, you have like you're palming that thing to fully disperse it. And I'm like, because they're empty cups, so you're not carrying them the same way. So it's like little things like that. They just like, ugh. You didn't put any effort.
To me, there's a big one, and it is when people are doing an action on screen that is not syncing up to what the action is actually supposed to be. The biggest one I can think of is playing video games. It is so incredibly rare for anybody on a movie or TV show or anything to be playing video games, and it makes sense. Usually they're just like mashing the controller like this. And you're just like, what are you doing? You're not playing a game. It makes no sense. They're also like, you know, when you're typing or hacking or something, and they're like, you know? Yeah, it drives me nuts. It's like, why couldn't you figure it out? I do want to bring up slightly, because if any of you have seen, there's a show called The Fall of the House of Usher. And in there is a guy who plays video games a lot. He develops video games, quote unquote. And I listened to a podcast where they actually talked about him doing that. They pre-recorded the video game footage, cleared it through legal, and put it on the TV. And then he matched what he was playing to the TV. So it looked realistic. And I was like, that's how you do it. That's a good way to actually like make sure that it clears legal, but also doesn't look fake as crap.
Yeah. Also, whenever they're hacking, why don't they use their mouse?
That was what I was going to say. It drives me nuts.
Because the mouse does not exist in the hacking world. It is just the keyboard.
Yeah.
But like,
also, isn't there on a lot of like laptops and stuff, the little mouse in the middle?
Yeah, but it's not every efficient once in a while.
When
you're
hacking, comes to coding,
you need to be
max
efficient.
Okay, if you're coding.
When it comes to coding, you're not really using the mouse. Yeah, and never. Coding, hacking is just anti-coding.
Yes, but in general, like any like
my brain hurts from thinking about that.
Any hacker even if they're not hacking, they're just using their computer to like get information. They never use their mouse. It's only they only ever use their keyboard. And it's like, oh, what's the location? Let me find it out. I'm like, you have to.
Amy is going to like have her mind blown when she learns about the tab key and all the different areas. I just messed with you.
I am going to make your entire voice from here on out sound like a squirrel. So get ready, butthead.
Oh, Amy's upset. I bet I sound like a squirrel right now.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Amy's confirmed the editor? Wait, Amy, you're the editor of this podcast?
I have always confirmed as myself as the editor.
I didn't know that.
Guys, I found a solution to the coffee problem, and I have posted it.
I saw. It's like a...
This is cursed, but also amazing.
She posted a picture of like... a lunchbox that has four sections and it's all insulated and you can carry your coffee in there. Honestly, still wouldn't trust it.
but if any spills occur, it's contained.
That's true. That is true.
Just saying.
On the same strand of breaking immersion, just like tiny breaking immersion things, when hair is wet in one scene and it's not wet in the next.
Oh, yeah.
True. Oh, yeah. Like when they fall into
a
river.
It's like a camera swap and then boom.
And
yeah, fall into a river.
And they get out and exactly. They're completely dry. And they're dry. Clothes and everything is fine. It's like, okay.
I'm like, I wish that were me when I got in. Like, that'd be amazing.
My favorite, like, pointing out that trope and making fun of it was in a movie called Last Action Hero where Arnold Schwarzenegger falls into a tar pit. And then, like, 2 seconds later, he's, like, wiping off the last bit of it with paper towels. Yeah. It's just... It's such a great commentary on how movies
work. The kid goes, you know, tar actually sticks to some people.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
That was the point of that.
No, I know.
Yeah. It was a movie trope.
Now you're a squirrel at 2x speed.
Good luck editing that.
Oh, no. That sounds like a nightmare.
When there's a chase scene or you're running or flying down the road or whatever, right? Moving from one location to another in a well-known city, and you magically transport from like one district to another that's like 20 blocks away in 5 seconds. Those streets don't line up. If you picked a city or a town or whatever that nobody knows except the people who live there, that's fine because people aren't going to catch that. But when you do that with a city that's very obviously like, yeah, I've been there a lot and I know that that thing's not located next to that thing. What are you doing?
Actually, I saw this TikTok the other day where this person was losing her mind because she was like, these are my streets, but that's not my street. What is going on? They... were, I guess, filming. And so they were filming her street, but I don't know if it, like, they couldn't get her specific street. So they changed the actual street signs to her street sign names. And she had to ask them, she's like, are you guys filming here? And they were like, oh, yeah, yeah. She was like, because those are my street signs, but that's not my street. They were like, oh, yeah, yeah, we had to film it over here. And she was like, I thought I was losing my mind. I literally thought I was in like the Upside Down. I did not know what was going on because they changed stuff on the street as well. So I wonder if that's I understand that, but I wonder if that's also another reason. Is like they just can't film.
So
on those
breaking,
specific.
Bless you.
I wonder if they can't film on those specific streets, and so they do stuff like that, where in their world those two things are closer together.
It could be. It could be. It breaks the immersion for me when I know something like an area, and it quickly transforms into another area. I'm like, wait, that's not there. What's happening?
Or if it's like a cop show that's like based in DC or around DC and they magically can like go to Delaware in like an hour. And I'm like, no,
yeah. Like,
absolutely
nah,
not.
You've never been there.
Yeah. You can't even get out of DC in an hour.
Exactly. You really can't.
Liam, what were you going to say before my sneezes?
No, I was going to say, so breaking from this whole listing trashy tropes, I watched two wackiest, most random, weirdest movies I've ever seen. And I wanted to ask a question about these movies after I explain why I need to ask this question.
Let me just look up Ryan Gosling movies
real quick. Ryan Gosling IMDb.
One of them was called Saltburn, which came out a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Starring some actors. And it is, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's British, so you already know it's going to be weird.
Ooh, no. Lies.
No, British stuff is always weird.
British stuff is amazing. You shut your mouth.
It doesn't change the fact that it's weird.
But is it weird because it's British, or is it weird because we're used to American
It's media? Weird because I was watching it. I was like, what am I watching? The intro was like the first four. The intro took a half an hour to actually get to where we're going. And not really. To get to where we're going, it took an hour and a half. There was an intro, and then there was an hour of, okay, where is this going? And then the last half an hour, I was like, oh, this is where it's going. And it tries to, like, subvert your expectations every, like, right turn. It's just, it's always trying to do crazy stuff, trying to make huge twists, trying to do this and that. And it always tries to make, like, the worst, weirdest reaction. Like, because it tries to do, like, really, weird stuff that the characters are doing to try and make the craziest visceral, like, oh, what is this? What is that? Like, constantly. It's trying to get you to break down over, like, what is this?
I just Googled it real quick, and on Google it has a rating of 3.1. But if you look at the ratings, I want to watch this movie really bad now, just because you usually don't have such a symmetrical rating.
Yeah,
it's like,
what is that?
Some people are like, it was 4 stars or 2 stars. This one is like only 5 or 1 stars, with 3 stars being the lowest, which makes me go, I bet this is a super divisive movie in terms of, like, yes, what people got out of it.
It is one of the only movies I think everybody in here could enjoy or could hate. Mm. I think there could be universal agreement on this movie, because it's so hard to pinpoint this. It's great acting. It's just the story and the plot I have a lot of questions for.
Saltburn is actually going pretty viral right now on social media, specifically because of people either loving it or absolutely hating it. And they say, like, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, then you'll hate it. And I've heard a lot about it, and anything that I've heard about it just doesn't seem for me. I've heard it's a fantastic film, but you're right, it has a lot of moments that trying to shock and wow you, and some people are really into it and others are really not. And I just think that for me, I know that I don't think it would be a movie that I would enjoy. Plus, I already kind of know what happens in a row because I've had a lot of stuff spoiled for me. But I think movies like that are interesting because they want the shock value, but it doesn't always go their way, because some people will watch, like, they're getting people to watch it because of that shock value. But then you either have the people, again, that love it or absolutely are like, hell no, never again.
I think it's like the perfect movie. It's a perfect Gen Z movie, because
oh God,
it is
12
yeah,
seconds long, and it's just full of screaming static noises.
it really is, because it's like, it takes place in the 2000s. So it's like, it seems old, but it really isn't. And it's this hypersexualized teenagers that are trying to have a fun time. It puts the rich versus poor thing into the front light. It's got, like, lies. It's got all this crazy stuff that, like, Gen Zers really want to go for. And that's why I think it is so popular right now, especially for my generation, because it's got these, like, what Amy said, there's these big shock and wow moments that are huge talking pieces that can get people to really like it or not. It's definitely something that you won't forget because of those moments, and that you'll talk about for a while and be like, you remember that? That was weird. And it tries to be like a bit of a mystery, even though it's so obvious what's going on. And then at some points it completely 180s to a point where it doesn't make sense. So it's like, I don't know. It's good and all. It is insanely amazing cinematography, but I think it uses, what's that? It's like I think it's 4:3.
The aspect ratio.
Oh, yeah. And so it's like, why? It has an amazing, you want to see this grand area, because it's a really beautiful movie. And it really tries to deep dive into, like, there's these super long shots of just, like, music or just, like, looking at the area, and, like, it really focuses on cinematography. But then it has a stupid little 4:3 aspect ratio, and it's just like, come on, man, you're ruining it.
So the first thing that I saw is that it's listed as a black comedy, and immediately for comedy, first of all, it's all subjective, right? And whether you find it funny or not. Mm-hmm. But comedy is about surprises. You know, you laugh because you're surprised, or because you find something out that you never kind of realized maybe about yourself or the situation, and it's just shocking. So I think comedy in general is something unexpected and shocking, and that black comedy is definitely probably going for more of that like extreme shock value more than anything else, just to get that sort of conveyance apart. Did you find it to be more of like a comedy, or did you find it to be a drama, or like what did you take out of it in terms of?
I heard it was a comedy horror, and it fails at doing either of those things. It's not funny and it's not scary in any way. It's definitely a drama. I think it's almost nearly pure drama. I don't know. You kind of just have to see it to understand it.
Real quick, they said that they chose that aspect ratio to give the impression of peeping in to what was happening in the story.
As opposed to not being able to see the whole thing.
Yeah, it's usually when they use that aspect ratio, it's so much more claustrophobic.
Ah, okay, so, well, I definitely get that. That makes a lot of sense for this kind of movie. It's just, it's such a beautiful movie. It could really use the wide lens. Yeah.
Do you think that it's beautiful because it's 4:3? And I know that sounds crazy, but like if you had a lot of the wide shots, it wouldn't be framed the same way. It wouldn't be shot the same way just because it would be a totally different perspective.
I think it's a lot of the sets that they use that makes it look so good. But I mean, yeah, you probably have a point there. It's a lot less that you have to worry about. You know, it's a lot easier to make some really nice shots with 4:3 compared to a wide shot. But
you just do this and it's perfect.
All right, so what are we giving this rating?
This rating, I don't even know where to begin, because like while I was watching it, I was like, oh, this is a great movie, and then by the end of it, I was like, oh, this is what? I don't know.
You need a second watch?
It's 1000% a movie you need two watches for. I would give it a 5.
Okay.
Are you okay?
10?
Just a 5?
Yeah. To be determined.
That's
to be
dead
determined.
Middle. Whoa.
To be decided.
Well, technically, you don't give movies a 0, right? So that
you
so
should.
It's really on a scale from
yeah, no, I'd
1
give
to
it
10,
a 0.
So a dead middle would be, what, 5.5?
My dead middle is 5, because I go from 0 to 10.
I also watched movies this week, and one of them, Aliens, you can listen to our commentary
Alien.
On. Maybe. Alien. Son of a gun.
Alien, yes.
Alien, because there's only one alien in it, and Aliens, there's probably two.
Yes.
I have to remember
yes.
that.
Yes.
I so, can't wait to watch that.
Real quick, we'll say this. Tommy and Amy and I, for some reason, were just like all going to watch Alien together, and then I was like, we should record this and then put it out as a commentary track. So we did. So we watched it. So you can do a watch along with us doing commentary. Tommy's first time seeing it, Amy and I seeing it a bunch. And we're going to release that as a bonus podcast episode.
Then y'all watch Prometheus as well?
I forgot I watched Prometheus. I watched Prometheus as well. So that's 4 movies.
Which one was better, Tommy?
Alien. I'll just keep it sweet. Alien is so, it takes its time. It takes its sweet old time. And it's intelligent characters. And I love that. Intelligent characters trying to solve problems without panicking and screaming all the time. And I love that. For horror, so great. Prometheus, the exact opposite. So-called intelligent characters screaming and yelling and not solving any problems ever. And I hated it. I hated it. It was, Mike said this, it was a high-budget, horrible horror movie. And it's exactly what it was. So many interesting premises destroyed. Anyways,
actually,
swiftly moving on. Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about intelligent characters trying to solve problems, but they're also screaming? Just
is that Aliens?
Out of curiosity.
No.
Sure.
I saw that some problems are getting solved. I feel like that's the real key.
I specifically think what Tommy was saying is it's intelligent characters solving problems intelligently.
Instead
yeah.
of
yeah.
screaming. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's basically like how I felt with The Thing and how I felt with Alien is when the moment came to scream, I felt like it was earned, but they were mm-hmm. screaming at every moment. And it's like, these are people in space. Like they are built to deal with a lot of scary things.
What's
the
tagline?
Like,
I think isn't the tagline.
They see one thing and they're instantly like, ah!
I think the tagline for Alien is in space, no one can hear you scream. I could be
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
And except for the one lady, there's not actually a lot of screaming.
No, it's just all these characters that are like, you can tell they're panicky, but they're all like, okay, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
Like it felt like there was no point in screaming to them because here's the problem. Let's try to solve it. Mm-hmm. Just like freaking scientists would do.
We're trapped here. We don't have a choice. Like, we have to solve this.
Yes.
Screaming is not going to do anything.
I loved it because of that. It's the exact reason I hated Prometheus. By the way, here's the order I've watched all the Alien movies.
Oh boy.
Alien Covenant.
Didn't know that existed.
Was the first movie I watched, which is the latest movie out.
The worst one. So.
It is the worst one. Yeah. It is horrible.
If you've gotten through the worst one, you're good to go.
Exactly. Then I watched Prometheus, which had a lot of redeeming qualities. I was just mid-movies like that tend to upset me because it's so many ideas that they fail to use and they make characters I hate.
You had all the right ingredients there.
Yes.
How did you make the wrong thing?
Exactly.
That's Idris Elba.
I loved Idris Elba. I loved all these characters.
They've got such a great cast, though.
And Michael Fassbender. Mm-hmm. He's the best part of those Captain two. The creepy reboot. Face. He's the best part of the reboots.
Yeah. He's so creepy.
He really is. He is creepy. And then I watched Alien. So now I think I'm going to watch Alien 3 next.
You're going to watch Alien.
No.
And then Alien
you
3.
Have to watch the second one.
I know. I'll watch it.
No.
Okay.
Skip to Resurrection or whatever. Was it Resurrection?
Yeah, Resurrection.
The fourth
one? No. You need to watch 2, 3, and 4 in order.
Yeah. I think the fourth one is probably the worst movie I've ever seen. I don't even think it could.
You just gave that review and you're going to say that? No.
Yeah. No, I think it is, bro.
No.
I remember there's a partner
that made me laugh so hard.
I was excited for these movies. And then I watched the fourth one and I got depressed. I think that's just going to be a good franchise.
Just like Mr. Freeze's Batman with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I love that movie and I know people hate it. I love Alien Resurrection. It's the one I've seen the most.
It's got comedy in it and in a story that shouldn't have comedy. And
it's got Brad Dourif.
Somehow
in
comedy
it. Come
was
on.
Snuck in and it's just
The other two movies I watched, horrible. Jurassic World 2 and Jurassic World 3. Terrible, horrible, no good movies. But they were fun because dinosaur ate a human, but it was censored because PG-13. Also, music was good. 9 out of 10.
Whoa.
Wow.
No, it's not actually that high. I'm not scoring it. It was just like, it's music was my biggest takeaway in those movies. The music was really, really great, but everything else, not so great.
All right. I think we're going to wrap up here.
I also watched some movies this week.
What did you watch?
I did too, actually. Yeah.
I watched Alien.
You didn't?
I was just interrupting Amy.
This is your first time watching Alien?
Has anybody else watched any movies in here? I'm just curious.
I've never seen a movie in my life. So I know we're about to wrap things up here, but I thought that this would be a fun thing to do just in general, kind of going forward. I think that we should play Chaos Bingo.
Ooh, I love the sound of that.
Basically, what it is you guys are going to create your own bingo cards. And as we're going about the podcasts, once something is checked off your bingo card, you're going to exit out. You don't have to print these or whatever. And whenever somebody gets their bingo, which is, across or diagonal, the normal bingo rules, you're going to yell bingo or chaos or whatever you want to yell. And I just thought that would be a fun idea to kind of keep us engaged while we're
bingo.
No.
Oh.
And I will say some of the rules that I would like to put forth is stuff like somebody yawns, somebody says, somebody sneezes. Like, those happen all the time. Don't put those on your bingo board. And
somebody says a word with the E in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, no.
Somebody says yo.
Yeah, exactly. That's free space is someone says yo.
Row 3
but watch.
Liam's never going to say it again.
But I think that would be fun. I also think that the things on your board should not have to do with you, because then you'll specifically do those things so you can get a bingo square.
I thought of ways around this already.
I also don't think that you can, you shouldn't be like, oh, Mike, what is Aaron Love again? And you're like, what do you like? What's that thing that she's always
no
obsessed
prompting.
With? Yeah, no, like prompting to get the bingo square either.
Organic.
Oh, no. Yes. The way that it's going to be is that it gets around me is that Amy gets upset from something I said. I'm going to get points every time.
No, no, and no repeating.
You can't repeat
squares.
On same squares. Amy gets upset. Amy gets upset two. Amy gets upset three.
So I sent you the bingo generator. You can type in whatever you want in there, and instead of bingo, it spells out chaos, because I thought that that would be fun. So that's why it's chaos bingo.
Oh, it doesn't do that for me.
Oh, well, I typed in chaos instead of bingo because I thought that that would be fun. Ha 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 ha. And
chaos.
Anyways, yeah, once you do your, your bingo fun. Board, let's play bingo. And I was thinking whoever wins bingo, because it doesn't have to be all in one. It would be fun if it could happen all in one episode. But if it doesn't happen, whoever gets it, they get to pick the next movie we all have to watch.
Mm.
This is an excellent reward, because having the power of that is,
however,
is so great.
Here's one little rule. You have to... If you X out a square, you have to say, like, when it was, like, what the date, you know what I mean? You gotta give some context with it. And you have to read out all your squares.
Okay.
And we all have to agree that that is, yes, a bingo.
You have to read out the squares that made the bingo.
So the other thing that we could do, too, to make this a little bit more everybody, like, even type thing, is that we just come up with a giant list of things that we could put on a bingo card, and then we can randomize them for every person out of that list. Because then at that way, like, let's say we come up with, like, 50 different things, right? And there's, what, 24 squares on a bingo that we can do? Then if they randomized where they're placed and all that, then the chances of a bingo are highly separated.
Oh, that's true. We could also make an entire episode out of this.
Oh, no.
Bingo next.
Not like an entire episode, but like 20 minutes of like.
Are you ready for our least listened to episode ever? We make chaos bingo. And I mean, yeah, I like the bingo idea.
So, yeah, we can work on that either separately or beginning of next podcast, but I just wanted to bring that up. So listeners, if you hear us saying bingo, now you know why. Now you know what's going on behind the scenes.
Maybe we should
sneak peek.
Say chaos.
Yeah. I mean, that's that's adorable. Alrighty, well, that ends things for today. Thank you all for listening. We're glad to have you with us. If you want to reach out to us, we are 1L2M Productions over on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Reddit. And if you want to donate to the cause of chaos, go over and support us on our Patreon.
And if you want to leave us a review, we would really, really appreciate it. It would help us get our podcast out there, and it would do a lot for us, and we just appreciate it. We will also, if you like, not only leave, like, you know, a 5-star review, but let's say you write something down, we're going to read it. And I actually have one right here that somebody has written as a review. And it's, man, whoever has that sexy voice, that wonderful man, I think his name's Meek. He's great. Love him. So leave a review like that and I'll read it out loud. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And the last word of Meek. And the last word of the day goes to you, Tommy. Take it away.
It's been a lot of me. Okay. My first bingo item, and you guys can use this too, is Liam audibly laughs, and in parentheses, it's unmuted mic.